Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest on today's show is Ariel Bullion Eklund. Eklund is owner and director of the Corners Gallery in Ithaca, New York. She earned a BFA in Fine Art Photography and a Master's in Museum Studies, both from Syracuse University. She has a background in art, framing, and photography, and a few years ago she discovered clay and now makes porcelain jewelry and wares under the name Influence Ceramics. And welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tish. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. Now, do you remember what it was that caused you to go into arts and photography? Well, what was the stipulation?
Oh, I've sort of grown up with it. My mother was in the arts. She was also, I guess you could say, an academic. She was always earning a degree, teaching at a university, dragging me to museums, to the library book stacks. Many of her friends were in the arts. So I've, you know, it's sort of my language.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that, to be honest, I wasn't entirely sure I would head in this direction.
Mm.
But here I am, and I've had people tell me, younger, you know, friends from the younger years say, oh, I knew. You know, I knew that this would happen, or I knew you would end up where you are. And so
a
they
freelance
must have
known, personality.
But I did not.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How yeah. interesting. So what was it that made you segue into fine art photography? I find that very interesting.
Basically, I think that one woman photographer influenced me. I didn't know her personally. That would be Sally Mann.
Mm.
I think it was the book At 12, who actually a friend of mine had given to me as a birthday gift when we were very young. I think we were both 13 or so, and she had given me this book and really blew me away. Sally Mann is a photographer who grew up in Virginia, rural Virginia, and her photographs are hauntingly beautiful. They're somewhat disturbing.
I think they're controversial in
yes,
some circles,
yes, at one point
too,
they
yeah.
were, you know, there was a big controversy because they're her own children and they were nude and,
that's
you
right.
know.
Yep.
But that particular book really did spur me to go to school for photography.
Wow, yeah, it's not a lost art. I thought it might be when the digital age
came
about.
The digital age has been profound on photography, yes, but I think there's a resurgence.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to photography, you got a master's in museum studies. Tell us about that. It seems like almost a segue from the arts to become a director of a museum.
Oh, I feel like it's... you know, if I was an octopus, it's one of the arms that I have. It seems very relatable. At the time, I was a younger mother with a child who was 6 or 7, and my husband's family is here. So after I had completed the degree, you know, I thought I might work in a museum, but the reality hit that, you know, I'm not someone that could travel far away. I couldn't uproot everything that was happening in Ithaca for the museum, for me to work in a museum. So I sort of created my own.
Hmm.
But the museum in general, again, I sort of grew up in that environment. So it felt very natural for me to go into that field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask you about the fact that you volunteered for several museums, the Johnson, the Everson Museum. Well, what was that exercise in museum world like for you?
Well, I think a lot of it is creating connections, creating a network, getting to know what the work entails. You know, I think a lot of times we have this idyllic set of expectations of what we might want to do.
Hmm.
And a lot of times you get into the field and realize that it's not all glamour.
Oh, sure not. Yeah.
In any field. So it's, you know, it's just getting your feet wet. I found I met some really wonderful people and learned
all the secrets of keeping a
yeah,
museum running.
Yeah,
I was wondering, too, as a director, What are you actually overseeing? Everything that's happening, like lighting, display, restoration? Do you do all of that, or is it more just a maintenance of personnel and shows?
Well, I'm primarily a one-woman show at the gallery, so the answer is yes. yes to all of those things. Yeah, it all starts with an idea, or an artist will come to me with a proposal, or, you know, I've seen something that I think I can build upon in terms of setting sort of the stage for an exhibition. And from there, it's a lot of correspondence. It's a lot of early planning and long-term planning. Exhibitions don't happen overnight. The work doesn't happen overnight. An artist needs a lot of time to create a body of work.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's a solo exhibition. So, yeah, and then, you know, it's the actual physical hanging the work. It's creating the price lists and literally hanging with the nail on the hammer and the lighting design and planning the reception, making sure everybody is happy.
It's actually a learning experience. All these steps, you don't think about at first, probably. I'm going to have to figure out lighting, you know. But most people think it's an administrative job being a director.
Yeah. I think if you are in an institution that has many, many hands helping, you know, the director portion of the position is very much administrative. Mm. And then, of course, you have a curator, you have a registrar. You do have actual...
Sometimes you have security.
Yes, yes. Yeah, but yeah. In my case, it's a little different.
Well, I want to know how you ended up connecting with the Corners Gallery and bringing your own work to that space. To tell us about it. It's evolved a lot.
It has evolved. So this was, I guess, well, almost 10 years ago now. I was finishing my master's degree. I was also completing a contract position at Cornell in preservation. And to be honest, I felt like I needed a little bit of a break. But, of course, you know, there are always bills to pay. So a friend of mine suggested yeah. that I contact the Corners Gallery. At the time, I was looking for a part-time position. Little did I know it would... develop into something much, much, much more than part-time. The owners at the time were looking to leave the state for a warmer climate. And I did not know that they were really looking for somebody to take over. And they were actually selling the business. They were trying to sell the business. When I walked in the door, the asking price was much too high, and I was not actually at all interested in buying a business. It wasn't anything that I was considering or had considered in the past. But at any rate, 1 year later, I had been there for a year. I had basically run the place for a year on my own and decided to bite the bullet and made an offer on the business and...
Wow.
Yeah.
God, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
People are always falling into things like that.
Yeah, it was a little bit of luck. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you were discussing with them that you wanted to run this place and then eventually take it over, did they want to make sure that you were also an artist? It seems to me that would be a priority,
absolutely.
But you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel, you know, now that I've owned a business for so long, I can understand really wanting to be able to trust and to believe in the person that you are, you know, basically taking this kind of baby that you've created and handing it to somebody mm-hmm. else to kind of follow in your footsteps. So I do understand that sentiment. And, you know, I was thankful. I think we were both thankful for that opportunity because they were looking to, you know,
to hand it over,
yeah. and I was willing to take on the crazy job that I did.
But there is a sensibility that you have to have in order to work with other artists and understand the process, sometimes the tediousness of it all.
Absolutely, yeah,
yeah. So it's important to me, I would think.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't something that I I had gone to school with to learn about. I feel like I was sort of born with this aesthetic and this sensibility that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So let's go through when you decide to create an exhibition, to tell us what your process is. Do people come to you? Do you come up with an idea and then solicit artists to tell us?
All of the above. Certainly, I have ideas that I've hashed out, sometimes rather quickly, and sometimes they're sort of like children. You know, you have this moment of conception, and it starts to grow over time. Sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years. And I do also have artists on a continual basis come to me, ask me for, you know, an exhibition or for a group exhibition. So it's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have a specific criterion that you look for? I mean, we can't all like all the same mediums, you know. How do you deal with that?
That's a dreaded question. It's, you know, I think it's difficult to put in words. I feel like I certainly look for people, for artists that are committed and that have, you know, a body of work or multiple bodies of work that are consistent in terms of the quality, the technique, and just the, you know, the drive to make it happen and to...
Do you look for artists that are continuously working artists, or do some people come to you saying, I did this in the past, now I've moved on to something else?
It's also a hard question to answer, because we all, you know, as people, we all have moments in our lives where, you know, as a mother, I know it's very difficult to spend quality time on your own work without feeling either that you're neglecting your children or that you're neglecting, you know, your partner or your other family members. Perhaps you are in school also. You know, we all have many, many things that are happening in our lives. So I understand that's that can deter from your practice. But I feel like those are okay things, and those are all great things. And if you can make that work and produce a body of work that you truly believe in, you know, that's certainly...
I think it probably adds to people's work.
Oh, absolutely.
To be, you know, juggling all those different things, different mental processes and so on.
And it's healthy to have that outlet also for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Now, does the Corners Gallery have any kind of particular philosophy? You know, like some people have a phrase that they use to attract people and audience.
I don't, and the gallery does not. I've never stated a mission per se, because, a couple of different reasons. A lot of times missions are sort of reserved for not-for-profits. And I am technically not a not-for-profit. You could also say that I am not a non-for-profit for other reasons, but... And secondly, I feel like, you know, the gallery's sort of fluid, and over the years, it's grown into itself. It's been almost 10 years, like I said, and now I feel... that perhaps 10 years ago I was in a different place, and you know, my vision was different, and my life was different, and so I feel like now it's in a different area.
So you've grown with the business, but that's the wonderful thing about having a say in how things grow.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Ariel Bullion Eklund, and we are talking about her directorship at the Corners Gallery in Ithaca, New York. You know, I also want to talk about your own artwork. And is being a director of an artwork deter you from working, or does it help you? Does it give you inspiration? It seems to a lot of us that you'd be too busy to actually pursue your own work after you take on something like this.
Yes. I think for a long time, for many years after I took the business over, I was putting in a lot of hours. It was new to me. So, you know, rightly so, I was putting in a lot of hours to make it work. Because it's been so many years now, I feel like I'm a little bit more relaxed. I can kind of take it one day at a time and see things in a different light. So for me, I've realized that, and I'll be 50 next year, I've kind of come to the realization that, you know, it is important for me to pursue my own work at the same time. It is very difficult. You know, at the end of the day, I literally am working with my hands all day, doing the framing portion of the business, as well as the gallery exhibition portion of the business. So I'm, you know, visually I'm kind of tired of seeing artwork all day long. And, you know, physically I can be pretty tired. So at the end of the day, it's hard to want to create for yourself. I've realized over the last few years that I really need to make that happen for me.
You know, I want to ask you, too, are you nurturing and staying tuned in to particular artists that come through the gallery? Do you prolong the relationship afterwards and continue working?
Absolutely. I think some more than others. You know, some artists are perhaps from out of town. They're from out of state, perhaps even out of the country. And those relationships are more difficult to maintain just because, well, primarily artwork, to ship artwork back and forth from point A to point B is always risky and more difficult, especially if you're creating an exhibition, a solo exhibition. You know, those are logistical issues that make it a little bit more difficult. But I do, yeah, I have a handful of people that I work with on a consistent basis. And
And you know what I would think would be one of the hardest things is choosing the artist that you're going to be working with. Can you talk to us about the process? Are you able to step back from, you know, I don't really connect with this, but think that it would be something that would be particularly, you know, challenging and interesting to the community?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to say yes and to say no. That's one of the more challenging.
It's interesting to say yes.
It's the one of the more challenging parts of my of what I do, because as an artist, as an artist myself, and as I understand, as another artist would take a yes or a no personally, because, you know, I know how that feels. So the no's are the most difficult part.
Oh, I'll bet.
And, you know, there are only so many exhibitions a year that the gallery hosts, and there are hundreds of artists in this town, you know, and especially if you're looking at regional or national artists, it can be very difficult to accompany and accommodate everyone.
Yeah, you know, in a small town like this, too, I would think you would worry about trying to make it a community endeavor. But, you know, I mean, you do have to reject certain people.
Yeah.
And then word gets out, supposedly,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes. How do you navigate that? That would, to me, that sounds like the hardest thing in a small
town.
It's
very difficult. You know, I've made a few enemies, I think, but I think I feel like I've hopefully overcome those few enemies and had made it a community, more of a community space. And occasionally I do get someone that's really genuinely thrilled to show in either, you know, a group exhibition or a call, if I've thrown a call for entries out and somebody is accepted. And if they're really genuinely excited, sometimes that can, you know, that does feel really good.
Oh,
because I kind of forget. It's my job. I'm there, you know, 5-6 days a week. And I do forget what it's like to be I don't want to say a struggling artist, but somebody that's, you know, juggling a lot of things and doesn't have the time to quite dedicate their, you know, the time that they want to be as an artist. And to be able to show in a space for perhaps the first time, or, you know, in a space that's not a coffee shop or, you know,
or
it feels, which, you know, I understand that that's necessary. But there's a different feeling to showing in a gallery space that's purely dedicated to art. So for that reason, you know, those types of little moments for me are nice.
Yeah. Well, the one thing about showing in gallery and in bakeries and library and stuff, I mean, you are exposed to people who wouldn't come to a gallery. So that's a great entryway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For some people. Now, I've noticed just through the years that many artists and musicians and stuff start talking about the cultural factors that are happening, the politics, how it affects the culture. Where do you see art right now in this point in time? Chaotic, volatile, angry? How does that affect it?
I think for me, I will need a few years of time to be able to step back from it, to be able to see the actual repercussions in terms of a large whole of the art world. I can imagine that the struggle that people are feeling right now obviously has a sort of a chokehold on the art world. It's hard to say what exactly is happening to the art world and how
but people
plays out.
Often, you know, they often talk about, even when it isn't volatile like this, how important the arts are to our culture and to our country.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like a lot of times I feel like we as a people that just want to come together and just be together. You know, a lot of times I feel like at a reception in at the gallery, I'll hear some sort of political talk and start to happen. And, you know, I don't feel like it's a time that we should necessarily talk about it. I feel like it's just nice to get together and congregate and be together and realize that, you know, this is the human condition that we're in right at this moment, and that as people that have common interests in the art world and in other areas, I'm sure, it's nice to have a space to... sort of a safe space to be able to just enjoy.
You know, I understand what you mean too about how it's going to take a while to figure out what's happening.
Yeah,
because art does take a while to be created during these moments.
Yeah, you need this sort of digestion period.
Do you think you'll be creating some new art from this volatile time as a photographer?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really worked in the realm of photography in a long time. I've sort of come back to it just recently, and I'm not sure why. The next exhibition I'm hoping to do is sort of revolves around the 35 millimeter slide format. And maybe it's just a sort of a way of being nostalgic and looking back to, you know, a different time period.
All those venues seem to come back and all.
Yeah,
you know, those
absolutely.
Ways of thinking and creating.
Well, I think the digital photography explosion that happened in the 90s, I feel like we're finally coming back to alternative processes and, you know, more hands-on kind of.
Did you ever work in dark rooms?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As a photographer, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I love it and I miss it.
It seems so creative. And for me, it was something where you could actually be by yourself to think about things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Most of the jobs that I've found myself in have been very sort of isolating positions. I mean, I grew up as an only child, so that's sort of how I'm most comfortable. But yes, the dark room is certainly a place of solitude.
Yeah, and it was also magical, you know?
It's so magical.
When you see this
so
image
magical.
Coming up, it is.
Yeah.
It's like a magic moment.
Yeah, yeah, and the smell, you know, the fixer.
Chemical
very nostalgic.
I want to talk to you about this, too, because I think this is fascinating. You discovered clay a few years ago. Tell us about that. You're making ceramic jewelry.
Yeah, it's been really fun. A couple of years ago, I started taking classes, took a wheel throwing class, and a couple of months later, I started a hand building class. It was very different than how I've worked in the past, but still very hands-on. I think for so many years, I've looked at two-dimensional work on the wall, and it's always very sort of protected and clean. And for me, the clay was sort of a very nice way to literally get my hands dirty, get really messy.
And really get in touch, with the
it's
earth.
Very sculptural,
cliche.
It's a natural product. It's been really fun.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's interesting, going from photography to making jewelry with ceramics.
Yeah.
Wow, wonder what else you're going to do. We're almost out of time, Ariel. Tell us about some of the current exhibitions that are happening at Corners Gallery.
So right now, Suzanne Onodera has a solo exhibition titled Elsewhere, a Journal. That's on view until November 17th. She's a local painter and artist.
And she has been on the show with us.
She has been, yes. It's true. And like I said, upcoming, I've got a call for entries coming up that involves the 35mm slide and sort of a holiday art bazaar that I'll be hosting at the end of November as well, in December.
Oh, great. I'm so glad that the arts are still vibrant. It's going to save us.
We need it.
Any contact information that you can give people, or if they want to come and talk to you? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Corners Gallery is available. The old telephone works. You can always stop by. We're in the Community Corners Shopping Plaza. It's certainly on the web, www.cornersgallery.com, Facebook page, Instagram, all of that.
Yes, you can't miss them.
Yeah, hard to not find it.
Well, Ariel, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a pleasure, and good luck with the gallery. We need you so bad right now in this culture.
Thank you, Tish. Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.